chapter number 12.
God began to deal with me about Abraham and how that Abraham, we find him at the end of chapter 11 in the book of Genesis. And all we know is that we know that he's supposed to be the father of the nation, but the first verse is about him in Genesis 11 verse 30. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. And yet God was going to use this man that was married to a woman who had no child, could have no children, to be the father of a chosen nation of his. And as I listened to that song and I began to think about Abraham, was in class, actually caught the tail end of a class. And then as it became the time for my class, my professor made this statement, and I've said it to you since then, but this is where I'm coming to, that God is not interested in our ability, but he's interested in our availability. And as we get started in 2015, there's three words that are with this story of Abraham that I'm going to preach the next three services. This one next week and the week after. Unless I'm sick and unable to stand and preach, I know that I'm supposed to preach these three Sunday nights this order. It don't always happen to me that way. I'm glad when it does, because it makes it easy for me to know where I'm going to study instead of trying to discern. But tonight I want us to look at Abraham's availability. And I want us to look at Abraham and see what happened. And tonight I'm going to look at Abraham's call. Then I'm going to look at Abraham's covenant. What did God say to Abraham? How did God come together? And then thirdly, we will look at Abraham's character. How did Abraham go from the man that he was to being the father of a nation? What? And there's many more. I limited mine, but there's many more characteristics to Abraham. By no means will it be exhausted. But let's begin reading in Genesis 12, verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee. And curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son. Now listen, you need to understand something when I get down in here in just a little bit and talk about his characteristics. That part I just read to you about out of verse 5 is not 100% what God told him to do. When it says that he took Lot, his brother's son, all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that had gotten in, they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. Available. I can't wait till I get to the last message. I'm going to preach to you on being available, our availability. Next Sunday on our accountability. And then lastly, our accessibility. God let me know that not everything that's available is accessible. But everything that is accessible is available. And so just ponder on that for just a little bit. Available. What does it mean to be available? Available means there's nothing between me and whatever is needed. I'm able to be used. Sometimes, I believe this in church life. There are times where it has been said, I know it's been said here of me, that I had favorites. I don't have favorites, but I use who's available. Amen? I have come to the conclusion God called me to be a shepherd and not a sheepdog. And so I'm not going to run down those that I think may be able. I'm going to use those that are available. And the problem with those that are available is the list of availability is shorter often than the ones with ability. Amen. I mean, it's been said, and I actually, I'm able to preach on being gifted and using our gifts for the glory of God. It's said that 10% of the people do 90% of the work, and the reason being that in church life is because that only 10% are available. And when you read this, God wants us to be available for His use. When you make yourself available, what happens is you might be used in places you didn't think you could be. When God took me to Jamaica, I had no idea of what would be done. But when I got down there, I knew how to pour concrete. I knew how to do some I didn't know how to do it like a Jamaican did. They work a lot harder. I mean, you're mixing mud in the middle of the road, and you're hauling it in wheelbarrows and 5-gallon buckets in these pump trucks driving up and down the road. And when you say, why don't we use one of them? Too much money. Oh, wow. In America, we'd spend $5 extra to save 5 minutes of work. Amen? I mean, that's the way we are. But when we make ourselves available, God begins to use us in extraordinary ways. And to give you some background, I really began to study. And if my mind serves me right, I'm trying to look at the map on the walls of my mind. The Ur of Chaldees is down here somewhere in Mesopotamia. Around the Tigris and the Euphrates River, it's kind of down over on this side in the Middle East, and that's where we find a man named Terah. Terah is T-E-R-A-H, is Abram's father, and the Bible tells us of the generations of Terah. He actually buried one of his sons, and then he just decided, I want to go to Canaan. Now, the Bible just tells us, if you read in verse 27, it says that Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran begat Lot. Haran died before his father in the land of his nativity in the Ur of Chaldees. And it talks about Abram and Nahor. They took wives, and they names their wives. And it says, Sarah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, and his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from the Ur of Chaldees to go unto the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. Now, Terah, for some reason, maybe because, if you will, there was some thorns in the nest. But he decided to leave. He had a family. If you read the Bible, the last verse in verse 32, the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. This man was an older man. Most of the time. When a man reaches a certain age, he's set his roots down, he's got more than fence stakes down, he's going to stay where he was. But for some reason, I believe it being the providence and the prodding of Almighty God, Terah decided, I'm not happy here in Chaldees, in the Ur of Chaldees, I'm ready to move out. And so he said, I'm going to Canaan. Now he had one son that stayed there and stayed back. He said, Pop, I don't want to leave with you. I'm going to stay right here where I am. And Terah took with him Haran's son Lot, and they went, and he took Abram and Sarah, and they left, and they went. And if you look at a map, Mesopotamia, can you follow me if I kind of draw you this picture? Ur of Chaldees is over here. Canaan
Canaan is over here. Now, for some reason, Terah took away this way, and he dwelt somewhere right in here in the land of Haran. And the Bible says that Terah died in Haran. And it was while he was there in Haran, up here. Now he left here. He was going on a journey. For some reason, he took. Maybe he knew that his time was short. Maybe he knew that it wasn't going to be long and he was going to leave this world. But he put down fence stakes right there, or tent stakes right there. And he said, I'm going to stay here for a little while. And the Bible says he died there. Then Genesis chapter 12 says that God shows up, comes in on the scene and tells Abram, this ain't where you're supposed to go. Now I want to put in something right here before I don't know how far I'm going to get into this.
You may have longer than 3 weeks or five.
But you and I need to understand that when God sends us on a journey, He don't want us to stop halfway. It's not His intention for us to get halfway there, 3/4 of the way there, 10 miles down the road, and then decide, well, this is as far as I need to go. I'm happy right here where I am. The Bible says that they left to go to Canaan, and God come on the scene in verse 1 of chapter 12 and said, I want you to go to a land where I've called you. And so, even though Dad stopped in Haran, Abram was supposed to go on to Canaan. Amen. You and I don't ever need to get satisfied till we reach our destination for the Lord. Amen. Even though I've not done a great big study on what the landscape of Haran was. I've not really pondered whether there was water for their livestock, if there was pasture for their grazing. I've not really looked into the depth about it because I'll be honest with you, I didn't really feel the need to. I wanted to for my own knowledge, but Lord said, don't focus on that, focus on this. Don't stop halfway where I send you. Amen. Yeah. If God's sending you somewhere, then bless God, we better do all we can to get there. And so I'll deal with that just a little longer and just a little bit later. And so God shows up in chapter 12 and he tells him, he says, get thee out of thy country. Now I want to deal with something right here. In Abraham's call, he was called to a specific place. The Bible tells us that he was to go and was to leave his country, listen to me, from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. Not a very good GPS, but I mean, if you will, God, Abram's Garmin just told him, said, get to the end of the road and I'll tell you where to go from there. I don't like those kind of directions, do you? I've had directions like that. When you get to this point, call me and I'll help you from there. That don't help me a bit. The only time I ever went to Craig Edwards' home, he said, there's a gas station right here. When you get to that gas station, call me. Well, when I walked into that gas station, I was as nervous as I could be. I mean, when I walked in, they weren't friendly. When I walked around, I mean, their buying sausages had dust on them that thick, looked like they'd been there since Y2K. And I mean, and I got nervous, and I called him 3 times before he answered the phone. I said, listen to me, preacher. When you give me directions to get to a place, and I get to that place, answer the phone. He said, I'll be there in just a minute. And it sure it was, but just about 30 seconds. And here he pulled up on his motorcycle. And he said, I was just right down the road. Well, why didn't you give me directions to your house? God sometimes does not give us very specific directions, but he does have us a very specific place in which he wants us to go. And two things I want us to notice about the place. It was a place farther than anybody else had gone. His father only went so far. Let me tell you something. I believe this. I believe the men who have stood in this pulpit would rather see this church go farther than they could see it go and farther than they let it go than they would ever have desired for us to get to where they led and then stop. Amen? If God ever moves me and takes me from this pulpit and places me in another, I hope I get record a record or get word from somebody that Mount Carmel's doing more after I left than when they were here. Some may say that'd be easy to do. If that's the case, then so be it. But I would rather it go farther than I would for it to stay stagnant. Amen. God wants us. go through. And so it was a specific place, but it was a place that took him where he had to go far. Let me tell you something. God is only satisfied with mine and your spiritual growth when we reach glory. I know you've probably heard, read, saw the pictures, but when we were at the Billy Graham Library, they say that Billy Graham's wife's grave, but it says that the epitaph on her tombstone says, "Thanks for your patience, construction complete." She had saw that as her parents were missionaries in China. She had saw that at the end of a construction site. She said, "I want that on my tombstone." We need to understand something. God's never going to be done with us until we get home. But that's never an excuse for us to sit down and say, "Well, I'm what I'm going to be." God can always make us more. Do you think for a minute, now listen, know that Abraham, listen to me. You read what I'm about to tell you. Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran, when he left to go. He was 75. That means that he was at least 200. When he was, his dad was 200 when he was born. That's unheard of now. And for at least a number of years, you know him and Sarah had tried to have children. But the Bible says in 11, verse 11, chapter 11, verse 30, that she was barren. She had no child. No doubt he had kind of adopted Lot because his father had died. And he was going to be like an adopted son, no doubt. Abram was going to leave everything he had to Lot because Lot was the next of kin, the youngest of kin. No doubt that was his plan. He had got satisfied where he, and then God said, "This ain't where I want you to be." Christian, here's what I want for 2015. God does not want us satisfied where we are. God wants us to go farther. In 2015, we've ever reached. I believe God wants us to do more ministry. Now, I'm not going to say it's what we're going to do. We're going to have us another little session here in the next little bit, probably on a Wednesday night, where we're going to set us some goals like we did last year for 2015. But here's what I think. Because you can never attain this because we deal with people. But it's a goal that we can constantly reach to. 100% participation in our Sunday school. Wouldn't that be something? There's 90 on the enrollment back then. And if we could get 100 people participate, that'd be unheard of. Amen? But if we could get 100, you say, "Well, what's participation?" People that come regularly, that faithfully attend. People we ain't got to send to FBI and SBI, go try to find them. And send out bloodhounds and try to sniff them out and try to find out why they ain't Sunday school. If we were to get that, you know what? I mean, that would be doing something for the Lord. Because he said, "Preacher, why do you say that?" Because if we get there, then the more people sit under the teaching of the Word and they adhere to the teaching of the Word, then the closer they're going to be to the God of the Word, and the closer they are to the God of the Word, then the more like the God of the Word they'll become. Amen? You with me?
Yeah.
Kind of shocked there for a minute. Some of you wide eyed. But if we get to that place, and I want to say this, I would like to see those 115 that's on our Christmas card list come to church on Sunday morning. If we can't get them in Sunday school, I'd like to get them in preaching. Amen? If we get 115 attending regularly, I mean, my goodness, it'd change the whole outlook of our church. I mean, it would change the discouragement to encouragement. It'd change our hopelessness to hope. I mean, it would do something for us if we get us all coming. Amen? I mean, the fact of the matter of it is, we got about just as much people that come from the campground in the summertime as we do have people that are not here all the time. Amen? And so if we could get our members to come, I'm on the soapbox. Let me get back to Abraham. Abraham had to go. God was calling to a specific place. A place that make him to take him further. Not only a place that would take him further, but also a place that would cause him to be fruitful. He said, "I'm going to make you a blessing. And because you're a blessing, your people will be a blessing. And then when your people are a blessing, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now hold on a minute. You're talking about a childless woman, the barren woman, married to a 75-year-old man, that you're saying you're going to take them to a place where you've not even told him the name of it yet, and going to let him be set down his stakes and make a homestead, and then from him, you're going to bless the whole and an almighty God. Amen. The only way that we can be a blessing to all those that are around us is that if God is in us, working through us. Gracie said something to me this morning that's probably one of the greatest compliments I've ever got while I was preaching. I was helping her get her flop around clothes on. That's what we call your pajama pants around that house, or flop around clothes. I was helping her this afternoon, and she looked at me and she said, "Daddy, I really like that message that the Lord told you to preach today." Amen. Thank you, honey. And she looked at me and she said, "But I want you to know," just like her mom. She said, "It wasn't you, but it was God working through you, and it blessed me, Dad. Thank you." God, the only way we can be a blessing to other people is if God works through us. How can God work through us? I'm available. God, here I am. God, I want you to work. He was called. In his call, he was called to a specific place. A place that would cause him to go farther. A place that would cause him to be fruitful. He was also called as to be with a special purpose. In Genesis 12 verse 1, he was called to be separate. Notice what he said. The Lord said unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house." I read a quote just yesterday that said this. Billy Graham said this and gave us this quote. And he said that when God calls us to commitment, true commitment to God means burning every bridge behind him. God was calling Abram to separate himself from the Ur of Chaldees. You get away from where you are, get out of that country. It's where you know. It's scary going somewhere new. Yeah. One of the scariest things about going to Jamaica to me is, number one, I got no car. Number two, they drive on the wrong side of the road, so if I had a car, I don't know that I could drive. They would be easily find me because I'd be the one running everybody off the road. When you get down there, there's too many roads that do this. I've never been to the same place twice the same way because they always, and I don't like that. But here, at home, I mean, even if I don't know road names, I can take you places. Amen? Because I've been there. I've been around. I drove. There's been times in my life where I couldn't sleep, so I just drove around Mitchell County. When my buddy Jake was working for the sheriff's department, I'd call him and say, "Man, I can't sleep. What are you doing?" "Just driving around Mitchell County. Come by and get me. I want to ride with you." And we just ride around. And we just ride around our county. I know my country. Amen? I told Jesse we were going to Johnson City on Friday, and I told Jess, I said, "You see that blue sign? If you're in North Carolina, east will take you, west will take you home, and east will take you to the beach. If you're in Tennessee, east will take you home, and west will take you way far away from you." I learned that from my dad. My dad told me, he said, "If I'm anywhere in the United States, if I can find 40, I can find home." And I built myself up on that foundation, I guess. And so he was called to separate himself from his country, the things he knew, the things he loved, the things that God, or that he had grew up in. And then he said, "And from thy kindred, from the people he knows." You've got to separate from those, the Chaldeans. You've got to separate from your father's people. You've got to separate from your cousins, your aunts, your uncles. The only one God wanted Abram to take with him was Sarah, because Sarah was a part of God's plan to make. God's called us to the same separation. We are in the world, but we're not of it. We're pilgrims. He was a sojourner, a pilgrim, Abram, leaving Ur of Chaldees, leaving Haran, coming on down into Canaan land. He was a pilgrim. In a time of famine, he went past Canaan, spent some time in Egypt. That's where he lied to Pharaoh about who Sarah was. She must have been a daughter, because she caught Pharaoh's eye. And Abram was afraid that they'd kill him so they could get to her. And he said, "That's my sins." Well, I bet you he had some stale bread at supper, don't you? Then brought him back up into Canaan land, and God began to bless him. But he was called to separate from everything. And he said, thy father's house. He said, I know. Now that was not just talking about a physical dwelling. That was talking about all of his close, immediate family. That was talking about Lot. God said, I want you to separate. And he said, preacher, sometimes that separation is hurtful. Yeah, it is. When you have to separate from that which you know, that which is comfortable, and go to that which is not. Know that. Know that. It's uncomfortable. It's hurtful. And that separation is a process. Sometimes it can come and be a severed cut, but sometimes it's a slow pulling away. And it hurts every time that it happens. But God has called us for a purpose, and that purpose is to... When you read later on in the chapters, and I'm not going to preach every bit of it. I'm just preaching three messages. All God's given me liberty to preach. But when you go down through here and you find Abram, and God calls him through the covenant to circumcise on the eighth day his son, and that circumcision of all the men that had been bought by Abram's money, all that were underneath, if you will, the rule of Abram's being the head of the house, all of the men, the servants, the children, everybody was to go, and it was for a very prominent and evident separation from the rest of the world. That's what God's called us to do. If the world cannot look at us and see that we're different from the world, then what kind of light are we doing? If lost people can't look down upon us and see that we're different, then what kind of guiding light are we being? How can we be a lighthouse on the stormy seas of life if we blend in with the darkness that's around us? We have to separate. Not only was he called with a specific purpose to separate, but he was also called with a specific purpose to be a servant. God wanted to use you. Listen to me, church people. God wants to use you. It doesn't matter how young you are, or it doesn't matter how old you are. Think about Miss Lucy. She got to sit this today, right now. She's living more than we are. Amen. She's enjoying more than our minds can comprehend on this side. Amen. But on the last days, bedridden and suffering physically, what did she say? I want to serve Jesus. I want to serve Jesus. That's somebody available to God. That's somebody that God wants to use, and that's the heart that God wants from his people. Now listen, I'm going to tell you this. You can be a Christian and be saved and not be a servant of God. I believe there are those who have got their ticket, they're saved, they put their trust in God, but when it comes rewarding time, they're going to have a big head full of nothing to lay down at his feet. Why? Because they decided they would rather serve self than serve their Savior. It's hard preaching. But it's true, preacher. God said, I want you to be a servant. How is he wanting to serve? He was wanting him to be the father of a nation. He was wanting him to go places. Listen, God used him and he reached out to him. I mean, it was through Abram that God used to reach out to Lot in these latter chapters. And it was through Abraham that God, God prayed and God used, and Abraham prayed for God to pray for Sodom and Gomorrah. But, and that is intercessory prayer. And he prayed for wickedness. Abraham prayed. God saved Lot because of one man's servitude. And Lot was ungrateful. Lot's wife enjoyed what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. She liked life there. Say, how do you know? Because when she got on that hillside, he said, don't you even look back. What did she do? She turned back and turned into a pillar of salt. Listen. God wants to use you and I to intercede for this world, to pray for those that are around us, to make a difference, and to be a blessing. He said, I'm going to use you, and by you, I'm going to be a blessing. Well, how can he? Is if he's a servant to God. These people that we're going to take a little look to, they may give us a cold shoulder, boys, when we get there. But you know what? God didn't tell me I was responsible for what they did.
God just said, I want you to take a load of wood to them. And so we're going to take them a couple of loads of wood. We're going to bust it. We're going to have fun. You know why we're going to have fun? Because with men at Mount Carmel Baptist Church, we have fun no matter what we're doing. Amen. Whether we're digging in the rain out here to fix the drain, or whether we're 40 feet up cutting tree limbs, or whether we're chopping wood, we have a good time together. Why? Because we're one in a bond of love. We love each other. We love Jesus Christ. And God's going to use us serving the ladies. I mean, listen, I'm not detail oriented to think about bird seed at the Bryan Center is something that I wouldn't even think about. But I mean, you ladies want to do that, going and putting bird seed in those bird feeders and baby showers and things. I mean, listen, that stuff just, I'm a man, it don't occur to me. But to see that God used in our ministry through, I'm not going to get off on all this, but you see what I'm saying? God has called us to be a servant. He called Abraham, I want you to be a servant. I want you to serve and be a blessing to all those that are around him. God called him. In Abram's call, God called him to a specific place, and he called him with a special purpose. You have been called with a special purpose. Let's look at Abram's covenant. Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. He said, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee all families of the earth shall be blessed. It was a covenant that God was going to give him to bless him. Let me tell you something. I'm going to make a poll right here, and I'm going to call you on the carpet. If God's not blessed you, raise your hand. You got about till I get to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, halfway there. 7, 8, 9, 10. It wasn't, my hand went up. All right. Since you've been saved, if God's blessed you in some way, somehow, raise your hand. Every one of us raised our hand. Even a little bit, laying there in her mama's lap, raised her hand. She said, I've been blessed. I've got a note in my Bible where Gracie had written to me one day, and it said in there, I have been blessed. If the pen of a writer could write every day, I have been blessed. God's been so good to me. I don't know. I think she gave it to me when I preached Thanks Be Unto God back around Thanksgiving or something like that. She wrote it out and drew a little heart and gave it to me when church was over with. And we all have been blessed, haven't we? Do you know that when God saved you, whether you believed it, whether you understood it, or whether you acknowledged it, He made a covenant with you, I'm going to bless you because you're mine. Now, specifically speaking, He was talking to Abram, who would later become Abraham, who would be the father of the children of Israel, and the children of Israel would be God's chosen people. And all throughout these ages and throughout all these different times, that God has blessed Israel, and Israel's a nation now, all based on this covenant right here that God said to Abram, I'm going to bless you. It's a blessing to know that we do have burdens, but that in those burdens, God said, I'm going to bless you. It was a covenant to bless. Not only was it a covenant to bless, but it was a covenant to build. He said, I am going to make thee the father of a great nation. He had to build. He had to start somewhere. And the cornerstone, if you will, the bottom of it, was there with Abram. If you read Genesis chapter 17, and you begin to read in verse number 1, and you go through verse number 6, I'm going to read it to you this evening, just so that you know. Are you still with me? You still with me? Am I helping you? Am I helping you? Genesis chapter 17, and when Abram was 90 years old and 99 years old now, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. He was going to build, and he was going to use Abraham to build. Listen, God wants to use you and I to build the kingdom of heaven. wants to use you and I to do work in the kingdom of heaven. But we've got to be available to the Lord. Jesus said himself, and you know I've quoted it, you've read it, that the fields are white for harvest, and they're ready to harvest, but the laborers are few. Why? We just don't let ourselves be available to God. Friday, I sit down outside of Bath and Body Works. I about said Bath and Body. Bath and Body Works. And there was a gentleman sitting there. I put a bag, some bags down at my feet, and he had some bags at his feet, and he looked over at me. I had received a text message, and I was, the whole time I was answering that text message, the Lord, I felt like something compelling me. I need to talk with that man. And I was trying to answer back the text message. It was from a preacher brother of mine, was asking some things, and I was trying to answer him back. And before I could get the text message answered, the man's wife came, and I mean, this is how real this was. God already told me how to open up the line of communication between me and this man. And then I was to ask him if he knew Jesus. And I didn't. I got called up, got distracted. And when he got up and left, his wife left, I looked at him and I said, Happy New Year's. All I could say is he turned around and looked at me and he said, Happy New Year, young man. And off he went. And I've been burdened for that man. I'll probably never see that man again. I can't even tell you that, but I don't remember what it looks like. All I remember was that I laid down a bunch of bags between my feet that I was toting, and he had a bunch of bags at his feet that he was a toting, and when his wife came out, she said, give me more bags. But God wants to use you and I to build the kingdom. Who's to say that in the middle of Johnson City Mall, right outside of Bath and Body Works, that older gentleman might have been able to give his life to the Lord if he's not a Christian? Because I didn't take time. Why? Because I didn't make myself be available. I was caught up in answering a text message. There wasn't going to get up and leave. Amen. I mean, those phones don't get up and walk off, do they? I mean, sometimes they do, but they got here. Amen. But that text message would have been there. And God burdened me with that. Why didn't you? I told you specifically. I tell you what God said. God was wanting to say, ask you. Does it ever get any easier to wait on them to carry their bags? I mean, here was an older gentleman, gray hair, glasses, had a cane laid up on that bench beside him. God said, that's how you open up a line of communication. Then I want you to ask him, 2015, what are you going to do for the Lord? I know what I was supposed to say that day. The scary part about it is, guess what? There's going to come a day when I'm standing before Almighty God. God's going to say, do you remember January 2nd, 2015, sitting outside a little old white bench in front of a Sunglass Hut, right outside. And he won't have to give me all them directions, because I'll know where I was at that day. I just hope that I'm not standing around the great white throne and that old man look at me and say, I saw you. What about son? Why didn't you ask me? God wants us to be available, to be able to build and work on the kingdom of heaven. How available? Thirdly, yes, I'm moving quickly because I've got to get to this last one. In his covenant, it was to be with you. Let me tell you something. You know it's God when you're sitting in a mall crowded full of people, sweat's running over you, and you sit down and glance over and look at a man and cold chills fall over you, and you can feel the breath of the Holy Ghost on the back of your neck telling you what to say, and you get cold chills. You know that's God. And you know what that means? That means he's with you. That means it. Listen, he was telling Abram, I'm going to be with you when you leave because I'm going to show you where to go. I've already got the map laid out. I've already got the path drawn. I know exactly where you need to go. Every step, everybody that you come around, I've already got it figured out. You just go where I show you to go and I'll be with you every step that you go. Christian, God, same covenant with you and me. If he's telling you to go to that drug addict's house, he'll go with you. If he's telling you to minister in places you didn't think you could ever minister, he'll go with you. If he's telling you to call upon that friend or that family member that's lost, he'll go with you. Why? He made a promise. Promise. And he has never made a promise he's not kept.
Amen.
We've got to be available. I hate personal stories where I have messed up with God to have to share with you. But I want you to know that I'm human just like you are. I don't sit as a preacher and
Don't think that I grasp every opportunity, that I shout over every possibility. I mean, there's times where I go, God, are you really being for real? Now? And right in the middle of answering that text message, I was like, this guy's going to think I'm crazy. But I thought I was crazy anyway for staring at him. I'd type a few words and I'd look at him. He'd look at me and grin. I'd type a few words and look at him. He'd look at me and grin. I'm sure he was probably wanting to ask me, son, are you all right? You see, God wants us to be available to him. Leads me to Abram's character. Number one, there was a desire. I believe if you read in this and you find that God uses our desire. Some may desire more than others. Amen? But God can use a little desire to make a great difference. Amen? You with me? We have to have a desire to do something for God. And I know I ask this, but do we really collectively desire for God to do something in our midst? Do we really desire to see our Sunday school grow? Because here's what's going to happen. All right? And here's something that's going to happen. Sometimes we say, oh, I want our church to grow. But let me tell you what happens when church grows. It's when the church grows. There's people that come in and don't necessarily know Baptist tradition. Amen? There's people that may not necessarily dress like we think they ought to dress when they come to the house of God. There's going to be some youngins come through that door that don't know that you're supposed to be quiet in the house of God. Which I'm glad for. Amen? We've told them to be quiet so long now when they get to be adults you can't get them to say anything with a stick of dynamite. Amen? I mean, that's because we've just gotten, we said, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. Use one of them.
Yes,
it was. Well, maybe. Use one of them. But that's where we are, isn't it? But when church grows, there are growing pains that come with it. I mean, listen, there may have to be Sunday school classes changed where they are because there's too much room. There's not enough room and there's too many people. We may have to do some rearranging. We might have to do some remodeling. You see, now we say, oh, I want it to change, I want it to grow, but do we really want it to grow? See, we have to ask ourselves, desire. Me and Jesse went in and finally bought us a TV. And we liked it when we brought it in the house. We're going to have to rearrange the whole daggum living room to fit that TV. And now it's to the point where we can't back up and change anything because I've done got rid of everything else. So we got to deal with what we got. And listen, sometimes when you get what you thought you wanted, you didn't really want what you got. Amen? But so that's where I have to ask you. Do you really desire it? Abram was in a place where he said, I desire to go with my father. And then God said, I want you to go farther than your father. And so he started with desire. From desire comes willingness. Chapter 12, verse 1, Lord said, depart, go. Chapter 12, verse 4. Abram departed. Is that what the word says? We have to have a characteristic of willingness for God to be able to use us. If God, listen, if we desire for God to do something, then we have to be willing for God to move in our midst. Now, listen. Sometimes, I'm going to hurry. Sometimes we'll be willing to a point. Amen? We'll be willing to a point. Right now, there's a man. His name's Richard Rivenbark. Red-headed little fella. Wasn't fruiting with him for 2 years. About a year, year and a half into it, he'd come into class every day with me. He'd done devotion one morning, tears in his eyes. He said, boys, I need you to pray for me and my family. Had two little boys, I think. I need you to pray for me and my wife and my little boys. God's calling us right into the heart of Muslim countries to teach about Jesus. And you know what? He's still over there now. right now. When you get the Foreign Mission Board stuff and you see just a black page or a black face with no name under it, one of those is Richard Rivenmark and his family. And here's what he said. He said, boys, I can do construction work and I can do... This was after 9/11. Alright? This was after 9/11 had happened. And I never will forget Richard standing in front of us. And he said, them same people that have destroyed our country, God is burdening me every day to go tell them about Jesus. Now, boys, let me tell you something. I told God I'd go anywhere, but don't send me over many places. I was with Richard Sandwich. Took his wife, took his children, now he's planted in the middle of the Islamic world, telling people about Jesus. That's willingness. Now, that's willingness to the extreme. God may not be calling you to do that. He may not be calling me to do that. But He may be calling me and you to be willing to do something. Something for Him. Something for Him through the ministry of Mount Carmel Baptist Church. Are we willing? Willingness has to be followed by obedience. Abram departed. And he took with him Sarah. Now if you read that chapter and you read what happens, he took with him Sarah, he took with him Lot, and he took with him, look, notice what he said, all the souls that they had gotten in Haran. God didn't tell him to take any of them. Now here's what I told you, I was coming back to this. Listen, partial obedience is still disobedience. God wants you and I to do everything. God didn't tell me to tell that man over there now. Johnson City Mall, Happy New Year. He told me to ask him, have you ever considered Jesus Christ and what is Jesus in your life in 2015? He didn't tell me to wave at him and tell him Happy New Year. That was disobedience. That's not what God's called. God has called us. He told Abram, take Sarah and go to Canaan and there I'll bless you. And notice what happened. When he got to a place, he had to ask Lot, where do you want to go? Lot decided to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. Then he had to go back and he had to go and he had to pray. And God sent angels and he had to go down there. Lot was nothing but dead weight. I'm sorry to say it that way, but Lot was dead weight to Abram because Lot was not a part of God's plan for Abram. He was nothing. I mean, he didn't want to go any farther. Listen, let me tell you something. There are times, listen to me very carefully. There are times when God tells you to do something, that He only tells you to do it, and the rest of the world's not going to understand. Amen? But Abram and Sarah didn't have any children at the time. God told them, go farther. I've got a plan for you. So we have to take desire coupled up with willingness. Willingness is fueled by obedience, or fuels obedience. And then when we find that we are obedient, I'm talking about doing what God wants us to do. When we are obedient to God, then if you read Genesis chapter 12, verse 8, obedience will lead us to the first place that it leads us to, worship. Notice what happened in verse 8. He said, unto thy seed I will give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. He removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, and he called upon the name of the Lord. Desire leads us to willingness. Willingness to obedience, and obedience will always lead you to a place of worship. Worship is bowing down and acknowledging God and His authority. Christian, God wants us to be available to worship. Before he ever got to Canaan, before he ever got to see the promised land, he built an altar, pitched his tent, and he worshiped. I want to worship, don't you?
Amen. Amen. Don't say that lightly. I believe this. I believe in my life in 2015, God has already started doing this. And Brett already heard the words of this song, but I mean, this is what I'm alluding to in these messages and where God's guiding my heart. It's either going to be me and what I want to hold on to or me and God. That's what He's drawing the line. And the only way that you and I as God's people can get to a place where God can use us is to make ourselves available, and we have to be available before anything else to worship Him. He's God. He sacrificed in worship. Worship led Him to prayer. And called upon the name of the Lord. When we pray, that's when we get in touch with God. And that's when God gets in touch with us. Don't you think, you read Genesis 22, don't you think we built that altar, Isaac was backwards, we've got fire, we've got the wood, we've got the rocks, and He laid everything in order. Where's the lamb? Don't you think the whole time, while Abram was binding the cords around Isaac, that he was praying? I'm not going to get too far into that. But in the midst of praying, he heard a voice behind him. Abraham. Abraham. God has said that you love Him more than anything. Look. And there was a ram caught with its horns in the thicket. And God provided a sacrifice, a substitutionary sacrifice for Isaac. Christian, let me tell you something. You and I, if we're going to be available, we have to constantly be in prayer. Wednesday night I preached and I said, frequent the closet of prayer. Get to a place where you get along with God, no distractions, no hindrances, and you listen to God. You still with me? I know I'm going a little bit long, but please bear with me. I'm almost done. Prayer will lead to thankfulness. When God calls, we'll go. His faithfulness is unmatched. How about mine and your faithfulness? Are we faithful to everything that God has called us to do? Are we faithful to everything that God wants us to do? I mean, Richard prayed this morning about around the offering table, around the communion table. God, help us to do more than we did last year. Help us to do everything You want us to do. The only way we can do those things is if we're available. And faithfulness is key to availability. And if we are available for God to use, we'll have to be faithful. I'm done right here. Life's characteristic for faith that I've made in this week. Desire leads to willingness. Willingness leads to obedience. Obedience leads to worship. Worship leads to prayer. Prayer leads to faithfulness. Faithfulness will always end up in fruitfulness. We now, if you take obedience and you put in disobedience, disobedience right there will also lead to a worship, but it'll lead to a different kind of worship because you might not bow down at some idolatrous altar. Amen? And then you might end up praying, but what you're listening is not the voice of God. It might be some other voice. And the fruit that comes from it may not be the fruit that it needs to be. Because if you read there, Sarai told Abram, I'm too old, this ain't happening, let's give God a kickstart. There's Hagar. He went into New Hagar. Hagar come out pregnant with Ishmael. Ishmael is now the father of all of those that we're fighting. Disobedience will bear its own fruit. And so we need to make sure that the fruit we want to bear comes from the seed of obedience, so that when that fruit begins to bloom and blossom and grow, we can say, that's what God had intended. Abraham now is the father of a nation. And that little nation of people keeps the whole world stirring. You know why? They do what we ought to do. They go back to a promise that was made by an almighty God. And they said, this is our place. Not because
the UN, not because a group of nations said that they would let us have it, but because God said, it's yours. And they go back to the promises of an almighty God. Here's my conclusion. Abraham was 75 when he left in Genesis 12 to go to Canaan. 75 years old. In Genesis 12, in Genesis 17 that I read in verse 4, he was 99 when God said, your son's of Canaan. I'm back, man. That's 24 years. That's 24 years of traveling. That's 24 years of praying. That's 24 years of waiting. That's 24. I know. If Abraham was a man, and the Bible says that Elijah was a man that dealt with like passions like we do. So if he was a man like that, I'm pretty sure Abraham, Father Abraham, was too. I wonder if there might have been times when he said, Sarah, listen, I got to go on the backside of here, talk to God for just a little bit. God, are you sure? It's been 5 years. Still no son. Still ain't seeing daybreak on the promised land. Am I still where you want me to be? 10 years down the road, God, are you sure? Yes, sir. And then 99 years of age, God said, it's a covenant. You're going to be the father of a nation. Are you sure? Yeah. He told Sarah. Sarah said, you got to be kidding. And when Abraham was 100, Isaac was born. 24 years of Abraham being available. Oh, there was a lot. I've preached a man's life in 45 minutes. There was a lot happened in those 24 years. Mistakes made, choices that I'm sure Abraham wishes he could have do again. But one thing Abraham always did was kept himself available to God. Are you available?
Do you keep saying, well, Lord, I'm too old for this? He took a barren 90-year-old woman and gave birth to the son that was going to be where the seed of a nation came from. Don't tell God you're too old. Lord, I've got too much stuff going on. Tonight, are you available for God to use? Are you available for God to bless and to build and to be with?